D1, number 10A.
So if we look out together from that standpoint that there is only one being, and that therefore the consciousness of that one being is really true existence. So let us see what we are conscious of. Let's do that again as last time, that we say, let's have no concept whatever about anything. No concept about ourselves, no concept about the world, no concept about the family and the business and anything. Let's be big enough to see that from the standpoint of the sixth day of creation, that which has been called man is nothing else but the ability to accept the standpoint of God looking at himself, then we have taken the right standpoint. This is, I go now through those four levels of science, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, which we have as the first column on the chart. Let's be big enough and see. The highest level of science itself. Science itself is that level where we have seen that the infinite really includes all and only knows itself. Let's just be there where we see, all right, then there is just one infinite, the infinite one. Therefore, within that infinite one, all is included. There is nothing outside, because there isn't any outside. So all that there is going on is that one divine being, that divine being which is all and all-inclusive and indivisible. Science itself is characterized by this indivisibility of the infinite one. That infinite one, we just think now of that infinite one is manifesting itself infinitely. Infinitely. Therefore, we can know that every manifestation is the manifestation of that infinite one. That every circumstance is a circumstance of the infinite one. That every event is the event of the infinite one. There isn't any manifestation, any situation, any circumstance, any happening which isn't the happening of the infinite one. We just stick now to that standpoint without letting any other thought come in at the moment. This infinite one I know is that which knows itself. Therefore, it's the only thing that interprets itself infinitely. Therefore, it's the only one that has within itself a purpose, an aim. It is that infinite one which operates out of itself and as itself infinitely. Think of the liberty we gain if we are really conscious that because the infinite one has no outside, nothing beside itself, because the infinite is the one being, that really nothing operates within being that is not of this one being, of this one principle. It already gives us a tremendous certainty and and freedom and confidence and trust that this one principle can't ever do anything but be the ever operative one principle. And so if we don't let any other thought come in, we don't deny that within ourselves. But we accept it, and as we accept it, it grows within ourselves, becomes more certain, more definite, more reliable, more trustworthy, and it is a certainty which nothing can take away. So this Infinite One proves itself. It doesn't need to be proved, it is evidencing itself. So this is the standpoint of science itself. Then, we know very well that this Infinite One cannot be grasped as a whole. Therefore, this Infinite One has to be reduced to a system which can be understood, to fundamental root notions which can be understood. So, this Infinite One needs symbols to interpret itself to human understanding. Can you see now, we go a step further from the point of view of science itself, where the one infinite just knows itself, to that point where it says, how do I interpret myself to human consciousness? And so we have to introduce symbols for teaching. Now we come to the point of using symbols. Spiritual consciousness has to be taught through symbols or it can't be taught. And these symbols which Mrs. Eddy uses for this one science is divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. What is divine science? Divine science is science reduced to divinity, divine. See, science itself is just science. And the moment we begin to reduce it to divine science, we introduce a sense of divinity, of the nature of divinity. Mr. Dawley defines divine science as the one divine principle including within itself the divine ideal or Christ, or one principle conscious of itself as life, truth, and love. So thought begins to accept that the divine principle includes within itself a whole ideal of divinity, the whole nature of divinity, and therefore expresses the whole nature of divinity. That which characterizes this level is therefore oneness, not the infinite one, but oneness of the divine nature. It's that which is all-inclusive, where we see that ideas come from principle and remain in principle. It isn't so much that the ideas come from principle and return to principle, but the principle always just knows itself as infinite ideas and they remain in principle. They are giving a sense of the one realm of being, one universe of being. It's there where we see that therefore principle and that which proceeds from principle are one, that they are not two, that cause and effect are one. You can see that here we will find later on a great law namely that there is no law of causality where cause leads to an effect. In divine science, where you have oneness, cause and effect is one, creator and creation is one, statement and proof is one. There is no time lag between cause and effect. Therefore, whenever Mrs. Eddy speaks of divine science, she speaks of the all in all. Not just of the all, but of the all capitalized in all. Because she indicates that really divinity is all in all. That there is no place where divinity is not, where God is not. That every situation is God's situation, that every event is God's event. He says, the starting point in divine science is that God is all in all. Can you hear how the difference between the level of science itself and of divine science? Science itself just gave us a sense that there is an infinite one. And now in divine science you consider the divine nature of that one and see that in that infinite one there is just oneness of everything. Oneness of everything, not just one oneness, but oneness of everything. Oneness of cause and effect, oneness of statement and proof, oneness of understanding and demonstration, oneness in every way conceivable. Therefore, whenever we speak on the level of divine science, we have that coexistence of God and man. God and man, she says in divine science, are not separate. So whenever thought is within that oneness where we find that our being is in God, that our life is in God, that our health is in God, that our mission is in God, where it is always included in God, never trying to get into God, when it is at the state of being in God, then we speak on the level of divine science. But then she goes on to the next level, to Christian, absolute Christian science and Christian science, where she defines that divine science reduced to human apprehension she calls Christian science. Can you see how another relationship now comes in, that now the question is asked, how does principle interpret itself as the idea of principle? How does principle express itself as ideas of principle? How can principle be understood through its ideas? All these are questions which come to human consciousness, to human apprehension. And within that realm, we have absolute Christian science. And you remember how John Dolly defined absolute Christian science as the divine principle infinitely interpreted through its idea or Christ. So the moment we begin to ask ourselves, what is the relationship of principle to idea? What are the relationship between the synonymous terms? The relationship between the synonymous terms and ideas? The relationship between ideas and ideas? All that is now an explication and an interpretation of this one being. And this is absolute Christian science. It's very taken on and on. In science, you know, in science itself, you know, there is only the infinite one, ever operating. What is ever operating? And you come to divine science, which says, everything within that infinite one is one with everything in that infinite one. There is no outside. I can never be outside. Everything is one. What is this oneness? This oneness is a definite relationship between principle and idea and ideas and ideas. And that is explained in absolute Christian science. Whenever, therefore, we are interested to know about the relationship of principle to idea and idea to its principle, the relationship how ideas combine with other ideas, we are living in the spiritual realm of absolute Christian science. It's really there where we have stayed so much when we were taking ideas and saying, how do these ideas reflect themselves? If I take the idea of intelligence of mind and say, how does that idea of the intelligence of mind reflect spirit, and how does it reflect soul and principle and life and truth and love? Then I was interested in the infinite calculus of ideas. That's absolute Christian science. So it is really there where we begin to consider the spiritual values of being, and how these spiritual values are operating. There we have that realm of ideas, where Mrs. Eddy says, mine and thine are obsolete terms in absolute Christian science. Where mine and thine are obsolete. In absolute Christian science, we are only interested in ideas. In the rhythm of ideas, the dynamics of ideas, the calculus of ideas, the relationship of ideas to its principle and of principle to idea. That's absolute Christian science. And that's all that there is going on. But naturally, somehow we can't always keep that thought on that level, because the human concept comes in. The human concept of sin, sickness, death, body, mortal mind, matter, flesh, all that is of the opposite nature of what we have been considering is claiming to have its interpretation and explanation. And the moment that comes in, you see, the moment the relationship of the idea to its opposite, to matter, to flesh, to mortal mind, to error, to sin, sickness, death comes in. The moment the idea and its opposite has to be considered, then we speak on the level of Christian science. Because Christian science is science as applied to humanity. It is the application of Christ's science to human experience. Or it is absolute truth made practical and proved efficacious, as John Dolly would say. So can you see that the whole range of those four levels is just always adding and adding a new vista in order really to disprove error? We start right away again, we start, say, with science itself. That which God knows about himself. And that's the only thing that he knows. Science itself. Then, that science itself says, but it has a divine touch. It has a sense of divinity. And divinity is already a mythical sense that is still lingering in our concept. And so it has somehow to explain the nature of deity, and explains it on the level of divine science as the divine nature, being one nature, all-inclusive nature. It has already a divine touch which somehow says to us, nothing is excluded. All is within that one being. There is nothing outside. Then you ask yourself, But what is then this one inside? What is its constituents, their constituents? How is it, what is its structure? And so absolute Christian Science comes in and says, I show you the structure of it. I show you that it, that structure is that principle has an idea, and that that idea, that those ideas operate in a definite calculus of ideas, always within the dynamics of being. All right. Then something within us says, but what about the human concept, the mortal concept, the world concept, the mortal mind concept? What about all that which humanly is disharmonious? And so Christian Science is that level which explains now the relationship and interaction between truth and error, between idea and illusion. It is really the level of analyzing error, uncovering error, and annihilating error. Now, I will go over these things over and over and over, because they become more definite and more definite as we go on. So, we begin to realize here, therefore, what these levels want to do. They really start out from its highest sense, but doesn't stay there, because the highest sense always includes the lower sense. So science itself includes divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science. Therefore we see that if we take the highest sense, that we are not losing anything, but we take in everything. And also, we begin to realize that if I take the highest sense, I'm not in danger, like the Eastern philosophy, to lose myself somewhere in the clouds. Because if I only would stay on the highest level of science, and would not know anything about divine science and absolute Christian science and Christian science, then I would just lose myself in an undefinable whole where I lose my individuality and where there is just an undefinable oneness, apart from disproving error. But Christian science is that which takes this highest sense of being and translates it right down to every plane of thought. It translates it down to the plane of divine science with its oneness of being, then to the plane of absolute Christian science, interpreting now what this oneness is so that we can understand it. Then translating it to the level of Christian science, where it shows that with that understanding I can analyze, uncover, and annihilate its opposite. I can disprove its opposite. It's not so much that I prove God, because God doesn't need to be proved, but I disprove error. I disprove another statement, another standpoint. Only the modern trend in Eastern philosophy has recently gone through a reformation through some of the thinkers there, which take now that nirvana of the one being and sees that that is not the end of spiritual education, but the beginning of spiritual education. And we can see again how when an idea is ripe, that then it has a universal impact. See, Eastern philosophy, up to the time of Mrs. Eddy, had only that sense that through meditation and certain techniques of self-abnegation, you can deny yourself to that extent that you lose yourself in the immanence of the one being, called the Nirvana. And when Mrs. Eddy began to write the textbook, at the same time, practically, new reformations broke in on Eastern philosophy. And when you read the latest exposition of like Aurobindo or so, you begin to realize that they say in their language practically the same thing as Mrs. Eddy. They give you now the translation of that Nirvana down to the world, to practical living. And they show it as the first translation and then the second translation and show it through the 3 degrees. Quite terrific. Because the idea doesn't belong to Mrs. Eddy. Mrs. Eddy wasn't a symbol. Mrs. Eddy wasn't a symbol. The idea of science was the symbol at her time. And therefore that idea of science will break in everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. Not only with the Christian scientists, not only with the Christians, and not only with the religious people. It breaks in all sciences and in all religion. It can't be stopped. That the power of an idea is so terrific, and the potency of it and the speed of it today so terrific that it doesn't need to take another 1,000 years as it used to take in earlier years for an idea to break through. And what therefore we are considering here is an idea which exists in being. It isn't Mrs. Eddy's invention. It isn't Mrs. Eddy's concept of being. It is being's concept of itself, which Mrs. Eddy tried to catch by listening and tried to translate it into her words. You remember how Mrs. Eddy said that when she found signs, that she heard signs in a language which nobody could understand, and that some of the students asked her if she would once speak in that language. She said, all right, I do, and she spoke to them in their language, and they couldn't understand it. It wasn't revealed in English. It was revealed in being. See? And being then must be translated to the language in which we speak. And this is the great issue of today. The more one gets in touch with thinking people outside of the Christian Science circle, the more one is impressed by the depth of their thinking and by the forwardness of their thinking, which surpasses what we have in the average Christian Science thought by miles and miles. Wide, wide past it. Reading a Christian Science journal or herald is just going back 50, 60 years. But the subject today, which the thinkers of today in all the various branches of science are thinking, is just pushing toward that central theme which we are considering now.